Mr. Gormley, Reel 41. I want to go back, Mr. Gormley, to really to get to the context of the time and get the dates and the movements correct, because they're a bit confused, as you recall. You're with the 22nd Armored Brigade, which was the 7th Armored Division, the Desert Rats, in effect. And you landed on D-Day plus one. And then you went into action, and your first actions, I understand, was a push towards Tilly. Can we pick it up from there? What happened there?
Well, the Killershaw went up and went into action alongside the 50th. This is just a retrospect. And we went alongside them while the rest of the tanks were busy coming ashore. And we gave support to them for a while. And then once the tanks came ashore, the fifth tanks and the 8th Hussars, they came ashore, the Rifle Brigade, and made the, and out of the few that was there, we were desperately short of transport money. I mean, we had transport, nothing. But the infantry and that, they had very little transport concerning infantry. So, more or less, they didn't have very few to do. There's more than men on the tanks as far as possible. So, anyway, we set ourselves on the road, and Jerusalem had been more or less captured by then, if I remember rightly. Yes, it has. And the next stop down the road was a place called Leeway. And there we met our first resistance. And I had roadblocks up, and very, very well defended. And we were there all day. It took us all day. And that night, the Essex dug in and made cleared the village out. We went in more or less with a rifle and bayonet and cleared the village out. But having said that, we had a hell of a day. They knocked a couple of old tanks out. We knocked a couple of their little killer. And I was talking about that scale battle. But having said that, we were very determined. There was no way, and by that time, it was pretty dark. So we had to legal up, you know, that's what we call a legal. We just legal up where we were. And all the time, don't forget, you were British shells and bombed. British snipers and everything, it was all about, you know, shooting long ways at you.
Did you
very effective the Germans at that point.
Did you know what German units were against you?
As far as I can gather, it was the same regiment that was against the 50th, Panzer Division. It was a Panzer Division. Well, it wasn't the normal game, it was a Panzer Division. It was second Panzer Division. Panzer Lady, that was it, Panzer Lady. I know it was a Panzer Lady. And these were the remnants of that. Right, not the remnants, they were actually just extended southwards. And anyway, we got through there, and our next brush is when we came upon the enemy Tilly. Now, this was a scum pump. And for days, and I mean days, we hammered it there. And the shells and mortar bombs bursting and fire broke all over the town. So, pretty terrible, you know, you didn't know where to stand, actually. And the flyer there, and we even got a couple of bombing waves, actually. But not to the extent that we've been doing to them. And
did you have air support with you?
We had air support to call on if it was necessary. And as I say, we hammered away there.
What were your targets in this
fight? Well, the target was to occupy Tilly and throw Tilly to move on to the village of the
car. I'm thinking in terms of your own fire targets.
Anything that moves, you shot at. Because they're exactly the same as earlier. You know, any movement that was on the other side, he just took a postcard out. And very effective. And then, well, I think the battle was about 4 or 5 days. Might be one of the days of the year. But then about 4 or 5 days, we were back in there. And we reached a stalemate. They wouldn't move back and we couldn't go forward. We were stuck with that. So we decided that we would try and outflank it. If we couldn't get through, we would go through the outflank and leave it behind. So the recce corps, which was the nature's house, you know, like this, a good recce corps, marvellous. You could find a big road, more bridge in 10 minutes, wonderful. And they took us around these roads, these certain roads. Very steep, very, some of them very hilly as well. And all this time that they'd been fighting, and you wouldn't water fire, you wouldn't shell fire all the time. While we were and there was infiltrating all that night, and coming in at night, and set movie traps and all sorts of things.
Did they get close to you yourselves, not the gun lines?
Not close to us, not at that particular point, no. We were firing, but we were more or less, as I would say, out of range. There's obviously out of range of snipers, but no, if you did, you couldn't guard against them, because this was going on all the time. There were snipers everywhere, in Dagbat, everywhere, there was every sniper sniping at you. And all the same gun nests, so you never knew. I mean, the people were limited, in that barrage. Yeah. If you were lucky, if you could see the end of that road, because they're very high hedges and everything, and there'll be somebody hiding there, waiting for you coming past, or whatever, you never knew what was going on. It was bad company for tank warfare,
You must have had some form of, observation posts out ahead of you somewhere.
Well, if they've got a higher point, they can overlook you wherever you are, they make sure they've got all the high points, and they're going to leave you there, and they can look down and see where you are, and they can just dive up what's necessary.
And your observation officers, your own observation people,
right? The only observation we could have was that when you had a tank and the tank would see what was happening and all you did to put down your barrage onto the 50-50.
Did you have anyone observing with the infantry right at the very front?
Always a man with the infantry.
And the, presumably the connection, the line of communication was radio, was it?
The tanks and the infantry worked together, so normally the man with the infantry. The tanks would either be in front of them or behind them, but there was always one of our observation officers was at the front.
And the communication was radio, was it, back to?
Communication radio, all radio back.
And you were in the battery headquarters at this time, were you?
No, I've been on a gun.
Oh, you're back on the gunners again?
I was in the back of the headquarters when I landed, when I actually landed. The field went up on the top and the casualty started moving up. Bam! On the gun straight away. You couldn't afford to have both standing up doing nothing. Well, you're not doing nothing, eh? But at least and that was what I wanted to do, to be honest.
But, as you say, this time you were pulled around to try a flanking movement.
Yeah. So we pulled on this big flanking move. And I'm just trying to describe you what it was like. We got off the barrage, and the recce disrupt. And they've gone all the way in, they've actually gone into village barrage, found over here. So they took us around all this circular route, which bypassed the whole. The Tilly group, and so they went down, and they were traveling north of Tilly. And this is that's how this incident occurred, which I've already mentioned, but I'll mention it in passing because it's part of the story. As we went down north of Tilly, down these little valleys and roads, these were just cart tracks. And we got down there, and we were halfway down the road, straight into the cars. When we looked back, and this freaking big Mark 6 had come out. And there was another thing we could do, because we were all trapped in these shooting roads. You couldn't really hear the band. We're all facing the wrong way, going that way. He was behind us. And God, I've never seen it. I've never seen a sight like it. The first half track had come out of the cut. There was a cut across like that. They walked in, but was fairly with Jackie and the other there, and that blocked the road. And then he just stayed up and down. Firing as he went, dropping grenades over the top into the tank. And within, I'm not exaggerating, within about 7 or 8 minutes, that whole place was ablaze. And you could see it, like a funeral pyre. More than a funeral pyre. God. The whole place was ablaze. You could see the men. They were standing up on the pretty tops. I'd be looking back like that. You could see the blokes standing up with dive packs trying to get up the pretty road of the flames and that. It's terrible, you know. Terrible thing to witness, really. You must have thought it was his birthday, Jerry Kamala.
This was the.
It was half tracks, Rifle Brigade. They were leading that column. It was half tracks, at least 10 or maybe 12 tanks, other tanks went up. There was two, a couple of more pre tanks went up. It was amazing, yeah, really. All together out there was at least 30 armoured vehicles taken out in one door.
And these were of the County of London Yeomanry that had got trapped on that road beyond Tilly. Beyond Villers Bocage.
They had the rifle brigade there, you see. And we had the Essex, and we got it with us. And it was a terrible doing it. And then we just carried on.
Didn't the Germans put in a counter attack at this time to retake Tilly, and you were on higher ground where you were breaking that counter attack up?
No.
This is a place called Tracy Bocage, Namé. Is this how it went?
Well, we were in Tracy Bocage. That's where we were.
The action was ahead of you.
We went into Tracy Bocage. So when the first elements of our troops went into Villers Bocage, the place was empty and we're breathing.
Yes, which is what you've described, of course, yeah.
Until the shell started coming over, and we didn't know at the time. Where's that coming from? You're obviously supposed to be empty. And because they'd already vacated. And the shelling and the bombing started, and it was causing.
And did you get yourselves involved at this point?
Oh yes. We were immediately in action because we'd already deployed. We were on this highest point, like, which we could see. The Tracy Bocage was like a lifted up area, you know. And that was our viewpoint. And we could see everything that was happening there. And I mean, Villers Bocage was only a couple of miles away, which is not the way to do it. And hell of an attack being there. And the blocks were brilliant. The anti-tank was had a brilliant job. We couldn't see it, like, you know all about it, right? Because we heard about it, and we got more or less got back, because they had these little anti-tank guns, they had a special ammunition, which was a penetrate tank, you know. The only little 6-pounder, which used to do the job. Especially at that range, they couldn't miss. They were firing 40 yards.
And your battery itself, what was it firing on?
We were just firing over the top, just stomping them down. We were firing in front of our own troops. Because they held the line, you know. They all held the line like it. They seemed like there was a full bloody fancy they came at them. And they held that bloody line. And as I say, they deserved every bloody credit for the way they held that line all day. all day, never moved. And you never got through at all. And towards night only, we knew that there was no way we could withstand that because they'd captured a couple of prisoners. And then you were. There's a bloody division that wasn't supposed to be there, but that was the second division. And that was a full grown demon comes in the day, it's no old thousands of them compared to what we are, right? We'd already lost them. And by the way, while that was happening, there was 8 of the tanks. They had gone out and deviated, and they were completely encircled. They're up first time, I think it was. They were completely encircled. You could hear them on the wirelesses. They were completely encircled. We just had to fight all the way out. We never heard another thing from them. That was it.
And yourselves were under constant fire from the enemy.
Constant fire all the time. I mean, they were firing back at us.
And your own unit was suffering casualties?
Oh, yes. I was 3 men in that day engagement. It's amazing. I was sitting down. If you ask me how we got out, we didn't know. You have no way of explaining it. I mean, the brooks falling down wherever I went, you know, and the brook really is that way. It's just one of those things that happens. And,
In an action like that where you're fighting all day and firing all day, how do you keep the ammunition coming?
You've got the ammunition with you.
Would you have enough to fire off all day, in that sense? There was that much with you?
The ammo took you right behind you. Right behind you. You took the ammo with you, That was the big trouble, you see, when you had the... But mind, having said that, you used to know the place was loaded with bloody shells inside and guns right in that, You didn't go up into your fair, right? Wherever you could put a shell, you stuck another shell. You know what I mean? It was amazing how much stuff you could carry. Even boxes. There's a tie boxes on the floor. I'd be back at the top of the tank. I'd even go to the top of the Sherman that we had. There's some pretty boxes left down on the top for you. All that plenty of more. I know that come towards nightfall, the order came out that we'd have to withdraw. There's no way we could withstand it. Would have been completely encircled by the next morning. So, took the infantry out first. The tanks held the enemy back while the infantry went out. And got them back. Not safe, because there's been a lot left behind. But they got them back. And all it was under fire all the time. And they got them back. And then the tanks came back and went past us. And they were taking positions behind the infantry, which had gone ahead. And that just left us on the front. So we thought, there's only one way of them. We can get out of this. Throw a smoke screen down. And it's wonderful. Don't smoke it, man. Brilliant. You throw that down. Nobody can see through that. Didn't matter how hard I get them. Just ride out with me. And we came out and we went up. And we decided to form this bloody box. I don't know who designed these things, but they decided to form a box. And we were left out like a civilian in the position, like a thumb sticking out like that, And we were in here, we're surrounded on three bloody sides, just like that. That God of us truth, surrounded on three bloody sides. Mine, with all sorts of bloody artillery in that behind there, in the main line. There was Yankees and all sorts there, with big heavy guns and everything. So they could give us support in that. And we were stuck in there, and we were there about 3 or 4 days. 4 days, I think. And orders came down that we'd withdraw that night and come back into the line down towards the Riverside area. And so we get all ready for it. It was 5 o'clock that morning, or about 5 o'clock anyway, so it seemed about 5 o'clock because it was really day break anyway. And before that, we'd been probing around and we'd actually had a battle with the crews. And they nearly broke the line there. Yes, they broke the line there, then. Well, it wouldn't have finished the day, but it would have been able to. But we're trying to get through on there, and they had that side over on the left hand side, the Queen's and that side. The little game was up to the front, and the glasses and that, and the other way. That's right. And as I say, we tried to get through on that occasion, and we stopped them because we were in the centre. We're scattered, you know, we weren't all together anyway. We're scattered all over, pretty well dug in, you know, we've got ourselves dug in because we had 3 or 4 days to get dug in, and we've got ourselves well dug in. And we were scattered all over. We were able to fire all this. That's a good thing, you know, really. So then we made this big push on the front. I thought, oh, God, this is it. And we made a hell of a push on the front. And yet that box was broke. They came round because it was scattered all over, you know, it wasn't like a solid box. Give me about 2.5 yards, something like that. Square. Something like that. 2.5 yards. And you're all on that. But you just have your own points to defend. So we did, you know. The tanks and that were at the top end. And there was only us artillery in that box. Plus the anti-tank ones and that, right?
Just very much like a desert situation by forming a box.
This is where it came from, the box in the desert. This is where it was devised. It was actually devised in the desert. This Erskine, who was a general in charge, Erskine, he was a general in charge, you know, and he put these books on it, and it proved its worth.
The box held.
It held. Everybody held. I mean, casualties. They couldn't imagine how many casualties were, even in Ireland. There was only three years left for me. That was only a mile. We were shouted, you know, so God knows what was happening in the end of it. So it comes through, the bypass comes round the rifle brigade, and the first tanks, we fired the first tanks. They come round now, got round now, and they come down at the back end of the Queens, they come in the back end of Gloucester, in Essex. We were firing, 400 yards? I think that was the minimum. They've got 400 yards of it. Might have been 600. I didn't have to look. I wasn't any close, like, you know. And they were coming up with it, and they were bringing these pans of grenadiers in on the backs of the bloody tanks. And they were dropping them off. And we decimated them. We really did. We decimated them. We got them up and we hit the bloody tank on one shot and we're scared the other fucking machines on fire and everything. And we all had, you know, we all had to be.
Did you have air support for this action?
Yeah?
Did you have air support for this action?
Not for that action. It was too complicated. It was too complicated to even attempt to put air force in. You understand what I mean? You only had a little box, 2,000 pounds square, and if you could have dropped bombs in there, they could have bombed you just as well as they could have bombed the enemy, you know. So you were left to fend for yourself.
Did you actually pick out a target, a tank or whatever it was? Each gun picked its target.
You didn't just fire away.
Yeah.
Oh, not by the close quarter, but like that. Oh, no,
you picked a target.
Pick every target. Oh, yeah, really. I mean.
And what were you firing? HE or armour piercing?
Anything. The first thing that was put up, you just let it go, you know, whatever ammo you got. Yeah, we just bang, get off. You know, because it was HE, it would explode just the same, you know. It was, It was all a patient, but all well and good, you know. He just grabbed everything that came. I mean, you don't even stop to look. You haven't got time to be frightened. You never frightened him. You're an absolute maker. Maybe that's what you make. When you think about it, yeah, I think that's like, you never frightened me. You're an actual maker. I don't know why or how, but you do what you've been trained to do. You know, I mean, you get the odd body in the end,
you said it lasted four or five days.
All that day, he hammered at us. And don't forget, we were less than half a brigade, actually. That was what was left in there when we pulled back into that stadium. And he hammered away at us all bloody day. Come back, kept coming back. Reinforcements coming in, and we had no eat. And we haven't got any time to eat. You never had time to eat because it was actually going on the whole time. Just keep the living rooms fire, keep the fire in there. That's a good officer, right? You know, keep them bloody guns silent. keep firing.
What happened after you'd stopped them? And
well, we stopped them. We didn't know what it was. Nightfall. When they'd had enough, and it was through. Well, we thought that the boat put a counter-attack in, but anyway, it got on well past midnight, I think. Look at what you're saying. We went into the bloody night, and we'd already had orders to move. Which, if we hadn't put it, we'd put it a day later, we'd have found the wrong gun. But we put it in that bloody day, didn't we? So we just, let us hear, well after midnight, and we started pulling out. Which what happened, because we were very few left, the men that was actually engaged. I'm sure, because they couldn't help but hear the very tanks creaking and groaning and that, and I'm sure they thought we were being reinforced. They thought we were being reinforced, they said, we were pulling out, and because, funnily, very often shot fire and we came out. We'll come out of there and we made our way down to Brickishard. And we're on the wrong side of the bloody hill there. And we got stumped down there. And bloody carried in the boat again, so the ship was on the other side of the hill. And we just dug in there and we got settled down there. And we settled down there.
So this would be well through the second half of June into early July,
yeah,
that kind of time.
I think it would bring us up to about the end of July, end of June. Yeah, that was about there, about the end of June, that I would think.
Did you get any rest? I don't mean send back for leisure, but actually get out the line for a few minutes. For a few days.
Yeah.
In reserve or something of that nature.
We went from going on in on B+1 and setting off down, as I say, the first time we had fired, more or less fired in anger, to the end of the tactical media. And from then on, other than the rest that we could take by the women in the troops in the fixing up the running and that separate. The only rest you had was when you were actually sitting there at the door. And you were fighting night and day. I mean, night and day, you didn't get any chance to sleep on the night. You didn't even get off there.